The practice of the presence of God, the best rule of a holy life, being conversations and letters of Brother Lawrence. Good when he gives, supremely good, nor less when he denies. Afflictions from his sovereign hand are blessings in disguise. Authentic edition. Preface. I believe in the communion of saints. Surely, if additional proof of its reality were needed, it might be found in the universal oneness of experimental Christianity in all ages and in all lands. The experiences of Thomas à Kempis, of Taller, and of Madame Guyon, of John Woolman and Hester Ann Rogers, how marvelously they agree, and how perfectly they harmonize. And Nicholas Herman of Lorraine, whose letters and converse are here given, testifies to the same truth. In communion with Rome, a lay brother among the Carmelites, for several years a soldier, in an irreligious age, amid a skeptical people, yet in him the practice of the presence of God was as much a reality as the watch of the early friends, and the holy seed in him and others was the stock. Isaiah 6:16, from which grew the household and evangelistic piety of the 18th century, of Epworth and of Moorfields. When unadorned, adorned the most, is the line which deters from any interpolations or interpretations other than the few contents headings which are given. May the Christ in you be the hope of glory to all who read. Conversations. First conversation. Conversation and precious employment. Satisfaction in God's presence. Faith, our duty. Resignation, the fruit of watchfulness. The first time I saw Brother Lawrence was upon the 3rd of August, 1666. He told me that God had done him a singular favor in his conversion at the age of 18. That in the winter, seeing a tree stripped of its leaves and considering that within a little time the leaves would be renewed, and after that the flowers and fruit appear, he received a high view of the providence and power of God, which has never since been effaced from his soul. That this view had perfectly set him loose from the world and kindled in him such a love for God that he could not tell whether it had increased in above 40 years that he had lived since. That he had been footman to Monsieur Fubert, a treasurer, and that he was a great awkward fellow who broke everything. That he had desired to be received into a monastery, thinking that he would there be made too smart for his awkwardness and the faults he should commit, and so he should sacrifice to God his life, with its pleasures, but that God had disappointed him, he having met with nothing but satisfaction in that state. That we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him. That it was a shameful thing to quit his conversation, to think of trifles and fooleries. That we should feed and nourish our souls with high notions of God, which would yield us great joy in being devoted to him. That we ought to quicken, i.e., to enliven our faith, that it was lamentable we had so little, and that instead of taking faith for the rule of their conduct, men amused themselves with trivial devotions, which changed daily, that the way of faith was the spirit of the church, and that it was sufficient to bring us to a high degree of perfection, that we ought to give ourselves up to God with regard both to things temporal and spiritual, and seek our satisfaction only in the fulfilling of his will, whether he lead us by suffering or by consolation, for all would be equal to a soul truly resigned. That there needed fidelity in those drynesses or insensibilities and irksomenesses in prayer by which God tries our love to him. That then was the time for us to make good and effectual acts of resignation, whereof one alone would oftentimes very much promote our spiritual advancement. that as for the miseries and sins he heard of daily in the world, he was so far from wondering at them that, on the contrary, he was surprised that there were not more, considering the malice sinners were capable of, that for his part he prayed for them, but knowing that God could remedy the mischiefs they did when he pleased, he gave him no further trouble. That to arrive at such resignation as God requires, we should watch attentively over all the passions which mingle as well in spiritual things as those of a grosser nature. That God would give light concerning those passions to those who truly desire to serve him. That if this was my design, viz., sincerely to serve God, I might come to him, Brother Lawrence, as often as I pleased, without any fear of being troublesome, but if not, that I ought no more to visit him. Second Conversation. Love, the motive of all. Once in fear, now in joy. Diligence and love. Simplicity, the key to divine assistance. Business abroad as at home. Times of prayer and self-mortification, not essential for the practice. All scruples brought to God. That he had always been governed by love without selfish views, and that having resolved to make the love of God the end of all his actions, he had found reasons to be well satisfied with his method. That he was pleased when he could take up a straw from the ground for the love of God, seeking him only and nothing else, not even his gifts. That he had been long troubled in mind from a certain belief that he should be damned, that all the men in the world could not have persuaded him to the contrary, but that he had thus reasoned with himself about it. I did not engage in a religious life, but for the love of God, and I have endeavored to act only for him. Whatever becomes of me, whether I be lost or saved, I will always continue to act purely for the love of God. I shall have this good at least, that till death I shall have done all that is in me to love him, that this trouble of mind has lasted 4 years, during which time he had suffered much, that since that time he had passed his life in perfect liberty and continual joy, that he placed his sons betwixt him and God, as it were, to tell him that he did not deserve his favors, but that God still continued to bestow them in abundance. That in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence, but that after a little care we should find his love inwardly excite us to it without any difficulty. That he expected after the pleasant days God had given him, he should have his turn of pain and suffering, but that he was not uneasy about it, knowing very well that as he could do nothing of himself, God would not fail to give him the strength to bear them. That when an occasion of practicing some virtue offered, he addressed himself to God, saying, Lord, I cannot do this unless you enable me, and that then he received strength more than sufficient. That when he had failed in his duty, he only confessed his fault, saying to God, I shall never do otherwise, if you leave me to myself. 'Tis you must hinder my falling and mend what is amiss. That after this he gave himself no further uneasiness about it. That we ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity, speaking to him frankly and plainly, and imploring his assistance in our affairs just as they happen. That God never failed to grant it, as he had often experienced. That he had been lately sent into Burgundy to buy the provision of wine for the society, which was a very unwelcome task for him, because he had no turn for business, and because he was lame, and could not go about the boat but by rolling himself over the casks. That, however, he gave himself no uneasiness about it, nor about the purchase of the wine, that he said to God, it was his business he was about, and that he afterwards found it very well performed. That he had been sent into Auvergne the year before upon the same account, that he could not tell how the matter passed, but that it proved very well. so likewise in his business in the kitchen, to which he had naturally a great aversion, having accustomed himself to do everything there for the love of God, and with prayer upon all occasions, for his grace to do his work well, he had found everything easy during the 15 years that he had been employed there. That he was very well pleased with the post he was now in, but that he was as ready to quit that as the former, since he was always pleasing himself in every condition by doing little things for the love of God. That with him the set times of prayer were not different from other times, that he retired to pray, according to the directions of his superior, but that he did not want such retirement nor ask for it, because his greatest business did not divert him from God. That as he knew his obligation to love God in all things, and as he endeavored so to do, he had no need of a director to advise him, but that he needed much a confessor to absolve him. That he was very sensible of his faults, but not discouraged by them. That he confessed them to God, and did not plead against him to excuse them. When he had so done, he peaceably resumed his usual practice of love and adoration. That in his trouble of mind he had consulted nobody, but knowing only by the light of faith that God was present, he contented himself with directing all his actions to him, i.e., doing them with a desire to please him, let what would come of it. That useless thoughts spoil all, that the mischief began there, but that we ought to reject them as soon as we perceive their impertinence to the matter in hand, or our salvation, and return to our communion with God. That at the beginning he had often passed his time appointed for prayer in rejecting wandering thoughts and falling back into them, that he could never regulate his devotion by certain methods as some do, that nevertheless at first he had meditated for some time, but afterwards that went off in a manner that he could give no account of, that all bodily mortifications and other exercises are useless, but as they serve to arrive at the union with God by love, that he had well considered this, and found it the shortest way to go straight to him by a continual exercise of love in doing all things for his sake. That we ought to make a great difference between the acts of the understanding and those of the will, that the first were comparatively of little value, and the others all. That our only business was to love and delight ourselves in God, that all possible kinds of mortification, if they were void of the love of God, could not efface a single sin, that we ought without anxiety to expect the pardon of our sins from the blood of Jesus Christ, only endeavoring to love him with all our hearts, that God seemed to have granted the greatest favors to the greatest sinners as more signal monuments of his mercy, that the greatest pains or pleasures of this world were not to be compared with what he had experienced of both kinds in a spiritual state, so that he was careful for nothing and feared nothing, desiring but only one thing of God, viz., that he might not offend him. That he had no scruples, for, said he, when I fail in my duty, I readily acknowledge it, saying, I am used to do so. I shall never do otherwise, if I am left to myself. If I fail not, then I give God thanks, acknowledging that it comes from him. Third conversation. Faith working by love. Outward business, no detriment. Perfect resignation, the sure way. He told me that the foundation of the spiritual life in him had been a high notion and esteem of God in faith, which when he had once well conceived, he had no other care at first, but faithfully to reject every other thought, that he might perform all his actions for the love of God. That when sometimes he had not thought of God for a good while, he did not disquiet himself for it. But after having acknowledged his wretchedness to God, he returned to him with so much the greater trust in him, by how much he found himself more wretched to have forgot him. That the trust we put in God honors him much and draws down great graces. That it was impossible not only that God should deceive, but also that he should long let a soul suffer which is perfectly resigned to him and resolved to endure everything for his sake. That he had so often experienced the ready succors of divine grace upon all occasions, that from the same experience, when he had business to do, he did not think of it beforehand, but when it was time to do it, he found in God, as in a clear mirror, all that was fit for him to do. That of late he had acted thus without anticipating care, but before the experience above mentioned, he had used it in his affairs. When outward business diverted him a little from the thought of God, a fresh remembrance coming from God invested his soul, and so inflamed and transported him that it was difficult for him to contain himself. That he was more united to God in his outward employments than when he left them for devotion in retirement. That he expected hereafter some great pain of body or mind, that the worst that could happen to him was to lose the sense of God, which he had enjoyed so long, but that the goodness of God assured him he would not forsake him utterly, and that he would give him strength to bear whatever evil he permitted to happen to him, and therefore that he feared nothing and had no occasion to consult with anybody about his state. That when he had attempted to do it, he had always come away more perplexed, and that as he was conscious of his readiness to lay down his life for the love of God, he had no apprehension of danger. That perfect resignation to God was a sure way to heaven, a way in which we had always sufficient light for our conduct. That in the beginning of the spiritual life we ought to be faithful in doing our duty and denying ourselves, but after that unspeakable pleasures followed, that in difficulties we need only have recourse to Jesus Christ and beg his grace, with which everything became easy. That many do not advance in the Christian progress because they stick in penances and particular exercises while they neglect the love of God, which is the end. That this appeared plainly by their works and was the reason why we see so little solid virtue. That there needed neither art nor science for going to God, but only a heart resolutely determined to apply itself to nothing but him, or for his sake, and to love him only. Fourth Conversation. The Manner of Going to God. Hearty Renunciation. Prayer and praise prevent discouragement. Sanctification in common business. Prayer and the presence of God. The whole substance of religion. Self-estimation. Further personal experience. He discoursed with me very frequently and with